Night, night, night. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, everyone, to another Bible study night. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We are grateful, and we continue to praise the name of the Lord, because he's the one that who has seen us through. We could have been otherwise minded. Yeah, we could have been otherwise minded. Many of us could have been heading out to the party or something like that, but thank God for his holy curfew that has caused us to be here for just 1 hour, giving him thanks. And 1 hour in his presence, you know, is a little time, but if we make use of every second of it, you know, we shall accomplish a lot. Amen. All right, before we start, let us breathe a word of prayer. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Lord, we place you in the highest place. We recognize your presence here with us. And we know, mighty God, that we can do nothing of our own. You are the one who enables us. And so, mighty God, we pray for your divine, perfect will be ours this evening. Lord, we pray that you will surge your spirit in and through us and cause us, mighty God, to have a receptance of your word. Yes, Lord, your word tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Almighty God. We pray, mighty God, that as we concentrate on you, as we hope in your word, mighty God, that you will cause us to see you in the light of your word. You will cause us to come to a closer relationship with you, knowing, mighty God, that is in you we live and move and have our being, because we are your offspring. We thank you, Lord, that this evening we can say without a shadow of a doubt that we are no orphans, but we are legitimate children of the cross. We are legitimate children of Christ. We were bought with a price, mighty God. And therefore, we can glorify you, knowing, mighty God, that you have paved a way for us, a way that we could not have paved for ourselves. You have offered us a free gift of salvation, full and free. And so, Lord God, we pray that you will open our hearts to receive your free gift of salvation, to be rooted and grounded in you, mighty God, who is our hope and our strong tower, our hiding place, our bridge over troubled water. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to build a wall around us to guard our minds so that we can focus upon you, Lord God. Your word tells us that your gospel is not hid. And you said, Lord, if your gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost, who the God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they cannot see. So I pray, mighty God, that you will unveil the covering from our eyes. Let us see you through the light of your word. And let, when this session should be over and done, then we shall go rejoicing, knowing, mighty God, that we have come face to face with you, and you have spoken by your spirit. Lord, empty us from everything that we think we may know, and fill us, mighty God, with your holy divine unction that is able, Lord God, to separate us from what is happening in this world. Give us, mighty God, a clearance to heaven this evening, that we will see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Hallelujah. We close everything out even now, Lord. And we concentrate on your spirit of the living God. Meet us, mighty God, at the point of need. Wherever we need a word, a rhema word from you, Lord, a direct word that will address our situation. I pray, God, that it will come this evening and that, Lord God, you will saturate, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, mighty God, you'll saturate our surrounding. I pray, Spirit of the living God, that you will fall afresh upon us one more time, Lord. I pray, mighty God, that you will uproot every evil spell of the devil. In the name of Jesus, I come against the plan of Satan. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I decree and I declare that God's people will be set free to worship and to listen to your word without any itching ears. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you now, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name and for the glory of Almighty God. Amen and amen, amen, amen. Welcome, 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 everybody. God has been good and we just love on him this evening. We just love on him that we are able to come one more time to study his word. We have been looking at the God's plan of salvation for the last 3 weeks or in thereabout. God's plan of salvation. And we will continue to look at it this evening because it's the purpose why we can stand in liberty, knowing that our God hasn't abandoned us and he has left us a divine will, sweet will of God. His plan of salvation should not be taken lightly. Is a one-time offering for us. It is nothing good that we have done to deserve it. It's all because of his grace and his mercy. It's freely given and freely received. Should be freely received. It's not of works. Your salvation and my salvation is not of works, lest anybody should boast. You know, we get evenly proportioned of it. It's not like you get more or me get more or whatever. All of us get the same. It's on a level ground. Salvation is served on a level platter. For everybody, we receive the same. Same like what the pastor get is the same, so you get the same like what the choir member get. Everybody get the same measure of salvation is how, and we should apply it. Apply the salvation, receive it and apply it and live by it. Amen. And so last week or the week before, we were looking at sin and its consequences. And because of the consequences of sin. Because of sin and its consequences, we recognize that we need a savior. We recognize that we cannot save ourselves and we need a divine intervention. We need Christ, who has the perfect, who is the perfect sacrifice for us. Amen. We look at how wretched we were in sin and how deep and saturated we were in the world. In sin, you know, we look at how we couldn't have helped ourselves and how we need the Savior to rescue us. The songwriter said, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. You know, we need that rescuing. And so we also look at the penalty of sin. You know, we look at where sin leads to. A devil's hell, you know. So, and we who are alive now in the flesh, we also should seek to be alive in the spirit so we can direct, we can find the direction for our life. We can find Christ before it's too late. And so this evening, I present to you Christ, the one, the ultimate sacrifice who had come. And he had gone through all the everything possible to set us free from the law of sin and death. Amen. And so we started looking at the purpose of Christ's death and his resurrection. And that's the gospel itself. Christ coming into the world, he died for us to save us, and he raised so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And we need that abundant life because, believe it or not, we mankind, we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings, and you can see it. We have dreams, and we have our thoughts can be wild, and we can develop things. We can we don't have to move to think about anything. We can sit right where we are and think about Kentucky Fried Chicken. We don't even have to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken. We go into the actual building. We can sit and we can think because we are spiritual beings. We can imagine stuff to how spiritual we are. Amen? Yeah, we can see afar off because we are spiritual beings. You know, it's only because the flesh, the body that we are in, the casing that we are in now, is only limited to the place where we sit or stand or lay down. We are limited to stay there as God has so divinely caused us to be. But in our minds, we are spiritual. We are spiritual beings. Amen. So last week we looked at the purpose, for what purpose Christ came into the world. And we look at, and we say, what was the purpose we said he came into the world? According to 1 Timothy 1:15, what was the purpose Christ came into the world? Yes, we look and we said, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15, he said, he came to save sinners. Amen. Yeah, he came to save sinners. And we look at whom did Christ call and whom did he receive? And we say Christ called and received who? Sinners. Yes, Christ called and he received sinners. Amen. And we say that Christ did not commit no sin. He was sinless and blameless. That is why he is a perfect sacrifice. You know, there was no blemish or nothing incorruptible found in our blessed Lord. He was sinless and he was blameless. That is why he is a perfect sacrifice. And that is why we must accept his plan of salvation, because he is an innocent man that went to Calvary so that you and I could be set free. So that you and I could have this liberty in his presence. The word of God tells us that there is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. To them that are in Christ Jesus, who are not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit that is in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And therefore, we are so blessed to know that Jesus has made this provision for us, his perfect salvation. And so we accept it by faith. We accept God's perfect salvation by faith. And so, yes, we're going to look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 tonight. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, and also 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Do we have a reader tonight? 1 Peter 2, verse 24, and 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Yes, we're trying to establish the purpose of Christ's death and his resurrection. We're looking at it through the light of this. In this scripture, we're having Bible study, so we're going to be we have to get into the Word and read it and ask questions, and so we can be edified. Amen. Anyone there? 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Amen, amen, amen. So he bore our sins. Amen. And we should live, that we should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. You know, when Christ journeyed to the cross, he received 39 stripes. 39 stripes from the cat and nine whip that they whipped him with. 39. And they are 39 major illness in the world today. 39 illness in the world today, major illnesses. And for each of those illnesses, you receive a stripe for all of them. Amen? For each of those 39 stripes that he received, it accounted for one of the illness, the 39 different stems of illness and disease that is in this world. He received one stripe for all of them. That is why the Bible said, by his stripes, we are healed. We can claim healing. We can remember this verse of scripture. And we can, when we pray, we can remind, we can pray it in our prayers. Amen. That by his stripes we are healed. Yeah, he was wounded. Isaiah prophesied and said, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And therefore, we as people of Christ, we have a complete package. We don't have to remain sick. If we know the Christ that we serve and the one who had called us, the one who has called us, we don't have to remain sick any at all, because by his stripes we are healed. You know, we can claim that healing in the name of Jesus, because he said he bore our sins, you know, and by his stripes. That is a big word, you know. We as people of God, you know, recognize that there is no limitation to there is no strange sickness. No strange sickness that can come upon you that God cannot heal. He knows about it all. He was smitten. He was despised. He was rejected. Isaiah saw him, you know. Isaiah prophesied and he said he was despised. He was rejected. You know, when we look upon him, there was no beauty to behold on him. But he was wounded. He was bruised. He was crucified for you and I by his stripes. We are healed. So we can claim that healing. It is done, you know. Remember people of God. Not because you may be going through some challenges now, and not because you may be sick. You may feel sick in your body now or whatever. Christ is not going to come and go back on the cross for you and I, you know. It's already done. The price is already paid. Our redemption is already won. The battle is already won. King Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, he got a glimpse of it, you know, when he looked and realized that he in his own strength could not combat the army that was coming at him. And he said, Lord, the battle is not mine, but it is yours. It is yours. I cannot do nothing about it. King Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament, he got a glimpse of it. He got a revelation of it when he realized that the problem that he was in was so insurmountable that he in himself could not manage the army. He would have been defeated if he stand in his own strength. But he said, the battle is not mine, but it's yours. And so we as Christians, we as people of God, we as believers, we are supposed to say, this sickness is not mine, but it was nailed to the cross. This sickness is yours, Lord. I cannot heal myself. You are the healer. How many of you know this evening that pill and medicine cannot heal you? How many of you know that the best of us at times, our body refuses the very medication that we think could set us free? Because the ultimate set freer is Christ himself, and Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All pill and all medication is of nothing unless Christ touch it and say, you are healed. He's the ultimate healer. You know, much people now taking medication and pill day in, day out, and their situation still can be better. It's not until Jesus entered into the room and touched it once and for all that all medication seals up in the name of Jesus. So the healing is not in the medication. The healing is in Christ. Yeah. Yeah, I submit to us all this evening that there is a balm in Gilead. The sympathizing Jesus is the one that controls that balm in Gilead. So no matter what you and I go through, our balm is still active and alive, is in Christ. Yes, we claim our healing. We claim it in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you something, believers. I want to tell you something. Christ is alive and well. Christ is alive and well. Right throughout scriptures, he's alive. Even now, he's alive. And even in the book of Revelation, John the Revelator saw him moving among the candlesticks. The candlesticks is us, the church. He was moving among the candlesticks. That's where Christ dwells among us as a people. He's not far from us. He's very present here with us. He's very present in our calamities, whatever we are going through. He's speaking. Remember, the word of God tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not that when you speak to him, you're going to hear him speaking to you all the time, like how in audible voice. But it's in your spirit. You that worship him must be connected to him in your spirit, and you will hear him speaking in your spirit if the ear is clear. If you have clearance any at all in your spirit, you're going to hear the voice of God. If you are not corrupted by the rudiments and all the dictates of this world, and you have your mind focused on Christ, and there is no blockage in the way, you will hear his voice. That makes a difference. Let me tell you something, people of God. It is not in the noise, you know, or in the open atmosphere. Yes, it is in quietness. It is in quiet. If you want to have an impactful prayer life, it's not going to be in the open. It's not going to be in the open church, you know. It's by yourself on your knees before you and God himself. Anybody who prays can tell you that their best prayer time is when they're alone with God. Yeah, the best prayer time that you and I could ever have is when Christ alone is listening. When you alone is not in the open, is not there, your prayer life starts. Your prayer life starts by yourself, because you have to come face to face with him. It's not when you're exposed to other people or the world per se. It's when you're alone with Christ. That's when your best prayer life is experienced. one-to-one with him. And that's where breakthroughs start to come through as well. We're talking about the perfect plan of salvation. All of this is in our the plan of salvation, the communication, how we communicate with Christ, how we live our life for him, how we treat him on a day-to-day basis, how we listen with our spiritual antennas. You know, connect. You know, the other day I was saying to God, God, I want to see as you see through my eyes. You know, I want to see as you see through my eyes. And I want to touch as you touch with my hands. And I want to hear as you hear with my ears. And I was praying that prayer, you know. And it was a long after I heard the voice of the Lord speaking. The voice of the Lord said to me that, you will not see as I see with the eyes that you have, the physical eyes that you have. You will not hear as I hear with the physical ears that you have. Because all these eyes and these ears is seen, it's just, and these ears is listening. It's just pure corruption in this world. Pure samphire and some scammers. Everything of darkness you're looking at out there. That's not what God is seeing. He's looking at the heart. And if you're not connected with the very spirit of God inside your soul, you will not see as he sees, because you need to activate your spiritual eyes so you can see as he sees. You need to activate your spiritual ears that we can hear as he hears. Our spiritual hands that we can touch as he touch. Is not these hands that corrupt and these eyes that corrupt. No, it's in your spirit. So if you and I can't secure that steadfastness to serve him in our spirit, in spirit and in truth, we will never see as he sees. We'll never hear as he hears. So let us commit to cultivate that levels in him wherewith our spirit can intertwine with his, so that his will be our focus, not our will, but his will. Amen. Yes, so hallelujah. So we look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, and we say that by his stripes we are healed. And we give God thanks for that powerful verse. It so much grips, it so much lighten our journey ahead, to let us know that the battle is not ours, but it is the Lord's. And he fights for us, and he heal us. He's our healer and our defender. Amen. 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 And so what did Christ bear for us on the cross? He bore our sins, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 24. All right. So we're going to look at 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Now, anyone there? 1 Peter 3, verse 18. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Go ahead. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. So questions for you. For what purpose did Christ died on the cross? According to 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For what purpose did Christ died on the cross?
Everyone agree with that to bring us to God? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He died to bring us to God. Amen. He died so he can bring us to God. You know, he's able to keep that which we have committed against that day. He's quickened us, you know, and he died on that cross to bring us to Almighty God, to bring us to his Father, so that when we approach the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in times of great need. You know, God see us through the blood of Jesus. The blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. The 5 bleeding wounds that he bore on Calvary's cross. That plea for you and I. God see us through that blood. Through the blood of his son. When we look at, I think it's Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. He said that when he see the blood, he will pass over. You know, when he see the blood, he will pass over. And so he shed his blood on Calvary's cross to bring us to God. And in that verse, he said, Christ also had suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust. One time. Because in the Old Testament days, in order for the remission of sin, there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Blood have to be shed for your sin to be pardoned, remission to be forgiven. Remission, it means to be forgiven, to be pardoned. You cannot be pardoned without the shedding of blood. That is why in the Old Testament, the Levitical laws, they had to shed blood in order to make atonement for their sins. So they would go with bulls. They would go with bulls and rams. They would go with pigeons. They would go with goats. You know, they would take animals to sacrifice the blood. They have to take blood with them to sacrifice. You know, in order to atone for their sin, blood for blood. You know, blood have to be shed. In order, you can imagine if we still had the Levitical rules, how some of us would be going into church nowadays. To how bad some of us are, to how bad we are, maybe we'd have to carry 10 bulls going there with us. You know, we'd have to carry 10 bulls. And go kill him right in there. You know, without the shedding of blood, there is no remittance of sin, no forgiveness of sin. The blood has to be shed. Yeah. Can you imagine? Yes, you can imagine when you don't hold the turkey dove good enough, when you don't hold the pigeon good enough, and him start fly away from you. You can't catch him back again and gone, because you can't carry none. You can't carry none that is lame, you know. You can't carry none that is lame. You have to carry one that is fit, that is ready to fly, ready to pick out your hide them too. A one that is ready to pick out your hide them. Can you imagine if you're clumsy and let that sacrifice go? No sin. Your sin now go be atoned for that the time there at all. You die in your sin. You know, it's no cow. It's no cow with no lameness or no broke foot when can't run. A cow will rebuke you. A cow in a prime, in a first year. A cow in a first year, which is very fit and agile. A young, fit cow. So you have to be good to catch that the cow there. Yeah, you have to be good. You have to be good to catch that the cow there broke. That they call them, it teared on any tree every time for them broke up every rope. That cow is a fit cow. It's no lame cow you can take to atone for your, to make atonement for your sin. Yeah. And look at what Christ has done. Christ come once and for all and offer up.
All right. Before we get to this, the atonement of Christ and what Christ has done. You remember in the New Testament when Christ go into the synagogue and he
had to turn over the table
with the sellers them in there. The sellers them in there are sell it. Yes, they must sell the sacrifices them so expensive.
They're selling the sacrifices so expensive. They're selling the pigeons because not everybody can catch the good pigeons.
They must send up. So, and what they normally do, they used to, like a person would catch them and carry them to the temple. And then when you come now, according to your sin, you buy the animal, the turkey dove or whatever. You buy it in the temple and stuff. But they were selling it so expensive that Christ kick over the money, the table and say his house has become a den of thieves.
Yeah, they become a den of thieves in his house. So and that was the beginning of the New Testament there and then, you know. So can you imagine now with so much extortioners and stuff and so much thief in our world that we live in now, how much they would sell a turkey dove and a cow and whatever for? Your sin and my sin could never be atoned for because it would be so much. It would be so much to pay. They would sell it so much to pay.
But Christ come and he make a one-time offering once and for all so that we can, our sins can be atoned for.
The atonement is the pardon of sin, the forgiveness, the atoning grace, the forgiveness of sin, the pardon.
Yes, make us as one.
Amen.
Yes, so you realize the of set free we are when Christ come and make that sacrifice once and for all.
Yes,
and it's not only for our generation, it was for generation before us, our generation and generations to come. Is a once in a one-time sacrifice that he has made, and that is enough for us to glorify and praise him. You know, praise him and glorify him because he has set us free. One sacrifice he has made, and that completed. That complete his plan of salvation. You know, one time sacrifice. Amen. And his blood, it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley.
It brings us strength from day to day. The blood still flows from Calvary's cross and Calvary's hill of sorrow, where sin demands was met.
Quickened by the Spirit. That word quickened means make alive by the Spirit. Your being come alive in the Spirit.
Yes, so you are quickened, you are made alive by the Spirit. The Spirit.
Thanks for pointing out that. Thanks for pointing out that. Yeah, you are made alive by the Spirit. You know, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the Spirit.
So you're being put to death in the flesh itself. The flesh is the old Adamic nature, you know. All Adamic nature that coming down from Adam. You know, so
yes. So the flesh has all sort of evil concupiscences that is dwelling in the flesh.
The flesh is the one that causes us to stray and go far off. But the Spirit is quickened because of salvation, the free gift of salvation that we have.
So the spirit now is not no more snared as if with a hot iron, but it is quickened. It is made alive in Christ Jesus. So we now have a conscience. We now have a conscience, and we now can hear the word. We now can hear the voice of Almighty God. And so when we start to stray, right away we hear the voice of God speaking in us, and we have to straighten our way. We have to break up our folly ground, because now our spirit is quickened. Our spirit is made alive now. It is no more dead. Yeah, it is no more dead in our trespasses and our sins. It is made alive, and we can rejoice and be glad in a full and free salvation. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, so we are rejoicing in a full and free salvation. We don't have to pay nothing. We don't have to pay nothing for the salvation that we have. You know, one scripture said that, yes, one scripture said that we were bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's the price that we were bought with. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, so we can rejoice and be glad in the liberty wherewith we had called us. And yes, and when we are set free, we are not to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage wherein we have been set free. Yes, we are not to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Yeah, because he said, the word of God said that he will present us faultless. Before his throne with exceeding joy. Who is going to be joyful? The Lord, when he presents us faultless before his throne, he's going to do it with exceeding joy. And that only possible because of, yes, that is only possible because of the free gift of salvation that we have received. The free gift of salvation that we have received. This free gift is going to go afar. The free gift of salvation is going to take us afar. Is it free gift of salvation that causes us to have a victorious life? Getting all the physical stuff in life, that's not a victorious life, you know. Getting all the world gain, all the material things, is not a victorious life. So don't get discouraged. Yes, don't get discouraged when you see that the unsaved, they seem to be prospering and getting all the material gains in this life. This, if they don't turn over their life to God, that is the only thing that they're going to achieve. You remember? Yes, that's the only thing that they're going to achieve. So that is why we persuade men to come to God, to give their life to God. Because it's free, it's a free gift of salvation. Amen. Amen. So so the purpose that Christ died on the cross is to bring us to God. That's the purpose. And what did Christ bear for us on the cross? Our sin. He bore our sins on the cross. And the purpose for Christ to die on the cross is to bring us to God. Yeah, I am going very timely. I'm going very timely with this teaching, you know, because it is one of the foundation of our faith. The salvation, soteriology, that's what it's called in the theological term for it is soteriology. That's the study of salvation. So soteriology is S-O-L. I will have to get the correct spelling of it for you. But it's a doctrine of salvation. Yeah, yes, that's the doctrine of salvation. Yes.
Yes.
The doctrine of salvation is a very important doctrine. And we have to get it. We have to get it. We have to get it together. We have to get it. Why are we saved? How are we saved? When were we saved? You know?
Yes,
we have to get it together because, yes, how were we saved?
When?
Yeah. You know, you have to get it right. And if you can't remember when you were saved, then it's not too late for you to put a future date
on your salvation. Receive him in your life now.
Yeah. If you can't remember when you say yes to Christ, you know, I'm not talking about
the day, month, and year and whatever,
but know within your spirit that you had said yes to Christ and you are born again and you are saved.
You are saved because of God's plan for salvation. Amen.
Yes, because of his grace.
It's nothing, it's not of works,
lest anybody should boast. It's a gift of God. Yeah, it's not of works. You and I cannot work to save our children, much less ourselves, much less to get a place in heaven. You know, it's not of works, lest we should boast.
It's a free gift. It's a free gift of God.
Free gift of God. You know, and as we...
Yeah.
Whosoever will may come.
Whosoever will may come.
Yeah, the Greek and the Jew, everybody. Everybody. There is a level playing field. Everybody, no matter how deep you think you were in sin, or how deep you think you are in sin, the blood... The vile of the sinner, the rich of the blood.
Yes, the vile of the sinner, the rich of the blood.
Yes, and you might recall the mighty testimony one can have when they were deep in sin and come to Christ. How powerful that testimony is. It can raise even the very dead.
Yeah, powerful testimony when you see a person who was a gunman or a person who was a murderer, you know, and when they turn over their life and come to God, you know, how powerful that person can be and how effective they can be. That is why the word of God said judgment belongs to him. You know, he's the one. Leave all judgment to him. Don't write off anybody.
Yeah, don't write off anybody because they going when they accept Christ, they're going to have a mighty testimony, more powerful than you and my testimony.
Yeah, they're going to have a mighty powerful testimony and stuff. So don't write them off and stuff,
because the salvation is a free gift. You don't have to save up no money. But the error that most is having, why they're turning away from the free gift of salvation, is that when the rubber hit the road and they come face to face with God and want to receive that free gift, they think it's
their responsibility to clear themselves from the mess that they are in.
It's not their responsibility. Salvation come with that clearness. It clear every mess that you were in.
Yes, that's one of the privilege of salvation. It wash you clean. It pure. It changes your whole life. So you don't have to say, all right, you have certain things to fix up before you come. Come as you are.
Yes, but many of you think, say, boy, You have to go take yourself out of crankabinage life. You have to get yourself out of the thieving thing where you were in. You have to get yourself out of some lies where you did tell. You have to go get yourself out of some conniving plans that you had and some wickedness that you indulge in. No, come as you are. Christ is the one that going to cleanse you from all impurities. You know, he's the one that is going to sanctify you. Yeah, he's the one that's going to set you apart. You know, let him do his work. You cannot. The mess that you and I get ourselves in, we couldn't clear ourselves from it. That is why Christ came, because we can't redeem ourselves. Yes, we can't fix it. We can't fix it. We are too deep and indulge in it. You know, the Apostle Paul said that the things that he desired to do, those he do not. And the things that he should not do, those he find himself doing. He said, Oh wretched man that I am. What shall separate me? What shall separate me from the judgment to come? He said, thank God for this plan of salvation. Thank God for Jesus who had washed me and set me free. And there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Yes, there is no condemnation. Yes. Yes. So the entire walk is different now since Jesus came into my soul. The entire thought now is different because of the gift of salvation that we have received. You know, we can boldly come to the throne of grace. We can boldly shout a hallelujah. We can boldly go down on our knees and cry out to the God of our salvation. Freely, we are no more cloaked up in bondage. We are no more cloaked up in bondage, but we are set free by the free gift of salvation, God's plan of salvation. It's living. God's plan of salvation is alive. It is living. It's flowing. Even now, God's plan of salvation, it's the only effective way, for us to break up our folly grounds to cleanse. You know, we don't have to go to any priest anymore once a year to make atonement for our sin. But we can go boldly by ourselves to the throne of grace. You know? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So when Christ hung on that cross, when he hung on that cross at Calvary, and he gave up his life, the word of God tells us that no man take his life from him. He's the one who gave up his life. When he gave up his life, that hour, that very minute when he gave up his life, there was a mighty earthquake. A mighty earthquake, and the whole place become darkness. You see what this plan of salvation, it comes through much trial and tribulation. It comes, a whole world become dark at that very moment when he gave up the ghost, when he gave up his life. And there was a mighty earthquake. And one significant thing happens. One significant other thing happened. The veil in the temple was torn. The only person that could go beyond that veil was the high priest. Yes, the priest was the only one that could go behind that veil. And when the priest is going behind that veil, he has to go there with blood. Yeah, he has to go behind that veil with blood. No commoners or no other parishes or nobody else could see behind that veil. Because behind that veil, the mercy seat was there. Behind the veil, the mercy seat where God have mercy. And you and I soul, and looking down and the mercy seat was the cherubims that looked down on the mercy seat. And the only person that could go behind there is a priest. It was a veil. And if you ever, and he have to go make sure when he goes there, he have to make atonement for himself. And the outside at the altar, you have to lay a spotless lamb. You have to lay that spotless animal there to make atonement for his sin first before he can enter into. Because if he go in there with any sin, right away, he's going to be struck down and dead. Hallelujah. So that veil was torn that very moment that Christ gave up the ghost, that Christ died on the cross. The veil was torn to give you and I access, free access into the holies of holy. So we no more, hallelujah, it's no more us to wait in the courtyard. So we don't have to wait in the courtyard anymore. We don't have to wait in the courtyard. We can go into the holy. We can go into the holy place. Yes, we can go into the holy place. You know, and not only into the holy place, but we can go into the holies of holy where this presence of God dwells. What access we have because of the gift of salvation. What access we have because of God's perfect plan of salvation. That's the access we have. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Yes, it is a privilege. It is a privilege. And one more thing that plan of salvation did. That plan of salvation, when you and I accept that plan of salvation, our name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is that a hallelujah? Our name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are no more entangled in the yoke of bondage, but we are set free. We are no more under the curse of the Adamic nature, but we are set free because we are now under Christ. Christendom has taken over our life. And we are no more the same. But Corinthians tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Gift of salvation. The gift of salvation. God's plan of salvation. The perfect plan of salvation. Amen. Yes, we're going to stick a pin. We're going to stick a pin there for today. We still have. Under the purpose of God's death and resurrection, we still have about three more points to look at. But we will, God's willing, we will look at it next week. Because as I said before, we want to really spend some time in this study because it's the foundation of our faith. We are called to faith. Because of the gift of salvation that God has given unto us. That is how we are called to faith. The substance of things so far, the evidence of things not seen, that is faith. You know, we give God thanks. It's 9 o'clock. Anybody have any questions? Anybody have anything to share before we close off in prayer? Everything clear as mud? Aren't we glad that he rescued us and saved us? And his perfect plan of salvation we have received, and you know, it's still brand new. Every morning we wake up, it's still brand new. We still feel that newness. Sometimes the things that God do for us in our life, we have to say, how he loved us. I know not why, I only cry, Oh, how he loved us. You know, when we go down on our knees and we cry out to him and we pray and we see he comes through for us, we only but can just cry. Because oh, how he loved us. When we see how he comes, when you see how he set us free, heal our bodies, you know, and we look back and we say, oh, how he loved us. I know not why. I only cry. Oh, how he loved us. You know, the love of God knows no bound. It's shed abroad. It's shed abroad in our life, in our heart. You know, and it touched the very intent, the very intestine, everything within us is touched by his life that is in us, his perfect plan of salvation. It comes with the Holy Spirit that lives and reigns in us. When we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, to set us free, to remind us of all things. So salvation is a package I submit to you this evening. That salvation is a package. It's not only just one thing, but salvation is everything. Everything that you and I need is salvation. It's a complete package. It's a complete package. And from day one, it's complete. It was complete yesterday, complete today, complete tomorrow, complete. It complete right throughout your life. The complete package of salvation, full and free. Amen. Yes. So I implore us all to meditate. Do a lot of meditation. It's necessary. It's necessary that you and I meditate upon His Word, because it's by meditating that we develop questions to ask God. Yeah, question Him. So we can be edified. We can know where we're going and when we're coming and whatever. Amen. Right. Let us pray as we dismiss. Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and truth. With thanksgiving, we'll be a sanctuary for you. We want to be a tabernacle where you live and reign. We want to be your headquarters, mighty God, that you will work in and through us, that you will cause us, mighty God, to be in the center of your will and your plan. And so each and every one of us, Lord, we recognize our shortcomings before you. We recognize, Lord, that there is more in you than what we can that we can even see with discern with our dull understanding of our mind. There is more to you than what we have even now, mighty God. We want to tap in to the holies of holy. We want to tap into more of you, mighty God. We want to give ourselves unreservingly unto you, that we may prove that is what that your perfect will is. We want, mighty God, to dwell in you, Lord, to be saturated by your holy presence. We want to feel your arms around us. We want to feel your spirit near us. We want you to lead us. We want, Lord, to eat from your hands. We want you to feed us, bread of heaven. Fill us till we want no more. We want that water from the well that we will never run dry. We want your anointing upon our life that will break every yoke and bring the deliverance. We want to speak your word with boldness. We want, mighty God, to earnestly defend for the faith that is delivered unto us. We want to know how to answer every man when they ask us about the faith that is in us. Why? When the world asks us why, how, when, we can answer them with boldness, knowing, mighty God, that you are the one that have restored us. You are the restorer of the breach. You are our bridge over troubled waters, mighty God. Here we are in your presence, mighty God, blocking out every distraction. Just want to love on you, mighty God. Just want you to be close. Hallelujah. Just want to hold on to the hem of your garment,
Mighty God, I pray that you reveal to us that which, hallelujah, that which we are lacking even now, and that you will come, Jesus, come and dwell among us as a people. Walk with us. Talk with us, mighty God. Be our help and our stay. We can't even walk without you holding our hands, mighty God. There is nothing that we can do that will come off to anything good unless you are in it, mighty God. All good gifts and perfect gifts come from you, the Father of lights, that giveth unto all man liberally and upbraideth not. You give good gifts, mighty God. And here we are, Lord God, want to feast from you, mighty God, the table that is spread for us. Mighty God, we thank you that you make a way where there seems to be no way. Your word tells us in the 23rd Psalm that you prepare a table for us in the presence of our very enemies. Many a times, mighty God, we pray that our enemies be removed from us, but you keep our enemies in our midst so that, mighty God, they can see you working in and through our life, that they can see the table that you have spread for us with goodness, grace, and mercy. Yes, Lord, many a times, mighty God, we want to run away from our enemies, but we thank you, mighty God, that you keep them beside us so they can see when you bless us, Lord. They can see the hands of God upon us in the land of the living. They can know that we are a force to reckon with. They can know that we are joined here with Jesus. They can know that our feet is placed on the solid rock, the rock of Jesus on which we stand. They can know, mighty God, that there is, yes, mighty God, we are not alone, but we are with you, mighty God. You are in our midst to bless and to do well. So we thank you, mighty God, for the struggles that we go through. We thank you, mighty God, hallelujah, for the high waters and the difficult times. Yes, mighty God, that we go through, knowing, mighty God, that trials are not enemies of faith, but is an opportunity to prove your faithfulness. We thank you, mighty God, that you have bring us through so many challenging times, so that when we look back, we can recognize that is the finger of God that has led us through. We look at your people Israel, hallelujah, the children of Israel. When you take them in the wilderness, it wasn't a comfortable experience, mighty God. They have to live in tents. They have to, hallelujah, they have to be dependent on you for their very next meal. You provide manna for them. Yes, mighty God, you provide shade for them. You provide water for them, mighty God. And even when the water was bitter, you provide a tree, mighty God, to be cut and placed in the water so it can become sweet at Marah. Yes, mighty God, we recognize that when you take them through that wilderness journey, it is a university that you brought them into, because you teach them in that wilderness your precepts. You teach them your laws, mighty God. You give them a first an experience of who you are. You give them, mighty God, a show of who you are, mighty God, that you are worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Every minute of every day, Lord, and every night, you have been so faithful to them in that wilderness. And so is it with us even now, mighty God, as we go through this world. Yes, mighty God, we know at times it's not comfortable, but we thank you, Lord God, that you spread a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. We thank you, mighty God, that you make a way where there seems to be no way. We thank you, Lord God, that there is no temptation taken us, but that which is common to man. But you are faithful, Lord, who will not suffer us to be tempted above which we are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. We thank you, Lord God, that we are more than conquerors through you that love us, who are we are the call according to your purpose. We thank you, mighty God, that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against us in judgment is condemned. We thank you, mighty God, that we are seated with you in heavenly places, mighty God. We are surrounded by a host of angels' army.
We thank you, mighty God, that you hold us, that you keep us, that you sanctify us, and you bless us, Lord. And so, Lord God, we look to you by faith, knowing, Lord God, that the perfect plan of your salvation has set us free, Lord. And so, mighty God, as we dismiss this very hour, we pray, mighty God, that you will dismiss us with your choicest grace and mercy. We pray for your blessing, mighty God. We pray, God, that you will intervene in our daily lives. Lord God, we pray that you will suffice us in every way that we are looking forward for your redemption. Yes, mighty God, that you will redeem us from sickness. You will redeem us from ill health, mighty God. Lord God, we know that our promotion comes not from the east nor from the west, but from you, mighty God. We are depending on you. You are our source. Yes, mighty God, you are our stay, our strong tower. And so, Lord God, we just love on you this evening, and we just give ourselves unreservingly unto you, mighty God. Have your way, Lord, and be thou glorified. As I tell you thanks, I praise you, mighty God. I pray, God, that in our going out and our coming in, you will lighten our path, Lord God. You will clear our pathway, mighty God. You will cause us, Lord, to hold on to your unchanging hand, no matter what, Lord, to keep on holding on, because you are our hope and our stay. Have your way, mighty God, and bless each and every one of us. As I tell you, thanks in Jesus' name and for the glory of Almighty God. Amen. 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 Be blessed, be blessed, be blessed, people of God. Be blessed, be blessed, everybody. You know, as you go, greet somebody in Jesus' name. Greet somebody as you go in Jesus' name. You know, and looking forward to see you all next Saturday, God's willing. Yes. Okay. Antoinette, my prayers are with you. Our prayers are with you, you know. Amen. Journey in mercy on your way. You know, we pray for journey in mercy. God will guide you and stay underneath the glory cloud. You know, he's the one that preserve and protect. Amen, 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 amen. All right, so to God be the glory, great things you have done. Amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. Amen.